The parables of Jesus are some of the world's best-known stories. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell begins a brand new series on understanding the parables of Jesus.
My friend, if you think this life is all about today, and it's all about your four-wheeler, and it's all about your boat, and it's all about your hobby, and it's all about your hunting, my friend, you are greatly mistaken. There is coming a day when we will stand before God Almighty, and we will give an account for how we live this life, and whether we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get sucked into the trap of thinking it's all about right now.
Jesus used parables both to reveal and to conceal truth. But what made these stories such powerful teaching tools? And how are these well-known stories supposed to impact our lives today? Our series entitled, The Parables of Jesus, helps answer these questions and many more. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to help us grow deeper in our relationship with God by exploring 11 of the greatest stories Jesus ever told. Right now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a message called Misplaced Values.
As we consider the parables of Jesus Christ, we find in the New Testament that there are 29 parables. Parabolic teaching is a way that Jesus Christ conveyed truth. It was through the parables that a window would open and the light would shine into the heart of a man in order that he or she may understand what Jesus Christ had for them at a very important moment in their life. Of the 29 parables of Jesus Christ, it is of note today that 16 of them dealt with the subject of money or finances or a man's relationship to money. Truly, in this parable as well, we will learn, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Jesus knew that our relationship to the things of this world had a direct impact on our relationship with Him. And so He constantly encouraged men and women to have a right relationship with money and a right relationship with Him. In the passage before us this morning, the Lord Jesus is confronted by a very selfish man. A man who came and said to Jesus, "Make my brother divide his inheritance with me." Jesus immediately sensed that this man had a problem in his heart. By the way, we look on the outside, but God sees directly to the heart. And God knew immediately that this man had a problem in his heart with covetousness. In fact, the Bible tells us in verse number 15 that Jesus spoke to the man and he said to him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Here was a man living his life by sight, not by faith. Here was a man who was wrapped up in what he could possess and could care less about what he would give. Covetousness has a way of doing that to someone. Covetousness causes a person to focus on the temporal and forget all about the eternal. A covetous man does not think about the needs of others or the kingdom of Jesus Christ, only about himself, only about what he can possess. This morning I want you to study the parable of this covetous man and see if today God would help each and every one of us to learn how to leave this place considering the kingdom of Jesus Christ, considering that which matters most. You see, in this life, it's very easy to get wrapped up in all of the temporal things. There's not a man in this room today, 50 or 60 years of age, who wishes he would have spent more time in the office. I guarantee there are some who wish they would have spent more time with their children. And I'm simply saying to you today, it is important on this Sunday morning that we consider what matters most to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important sometime in our life that we pull our car over and get out and spend some time asking Jesus Christ, "Am I investing my life in what matters the most?" The man we're going to study this morning had his priorities completely out of balance. I want you to notice in your outline this morning the reasoning of the covetous man. Notice how a covetous man thinks. And I believe you'll notice in the first place that he had a misplaced contemplation. The things he contemplated were misplaced. His thoughts were not according to the values of God. The Bible says in verse number 16 of our text, this man had a ground that brought forth plentifully. And notice it says he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Here was a man who was contemplating what he had, how he could have more, how he could make more barns to take care of everything that he had. All that he was thinking about here dealt with himself, dealt with his own desires. Like the man who thinks only of his retirement or of his 401k or of his plans for this, that, and the next thing in the future. And never one time stops to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Never one time stops to consider the will of God for his life. This man thought only of himself. My friend, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth. You see, here was a man whose affections were totally wrapped up in the things of this world. Isn't that the way we are today? One speaker said it this weekend. He said, it's interesting in America. We'll have a $30,000 or $40,000 car parked outside in the driveway because our garage is so filled with stuff. Then we'll go down and rent a place for more stuff. Then we'll put stuff in the attic. We in America have lots of stuff, but many times our values are not where they should be. Now notice this man's misplaced contemplation. I see in the first place he was a man who lived by sight. It was all about what he could see and what he could touch and what he could feel. But the Bible says a mature Christian does not walk by sight. A mature Christian walks by faith. May I say to you that tithing and giving to the Lord never makes sense? It's not going to work by sight. It's only by faith that we'll be able to go forward in serving the Lord. This man lived simply by sight. This man lived for himself. It was all about himself. Interesting in these verses, verses 17 through 19, that you will find 12 personal pronouns. 12 times this man says, I, my, me. We are living in a day when Americans are so filled up with self and when we are so filled with our thoughts. Many of our young people, this is all they can think about, is fun for a season. And that was the spirit of this man. It was all about fun. Now, this man never considered the fact that God had given him good soil. This man never considered the fact that God had given him the rain. He never considered the fact that God had given him the sun. He never thanked the Lord for his hired help. He never thanked the Lord for his many, many blessings in his life. He was never one who thought about others. He thought only about how he could obtain more for himself. The Bible speaks of this type of person in Psalm 49 in verse 11. It says this, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. My friend, I wish sometimes some of our members could spend just 1 week walking and seeing some of the things that I see. There is not a week that goes by that we are not called to a hospital or to a place of difficulty and to meet someone who has just found out that their days on this earth are numbered. The Bible says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. It is here for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. And their inward thought is that their house will live forever, and all that we have will go on forever. And yet the Bible is very clear that this man had a misplaced contemplation. He was thinking only of himself and only of this world, and he forgot to think about heaven. Oh, some would have called him a self-made man. He might have won a pin at the Rotary Club. He might have received some award from his businessmen's association. But he was a failure in the eyes of Almighty God. You see, the trouble with some self-made men is that they worship their creator. They worship themselves. They worship their accomplishments. But they forget there is a God in heaven longing for their love and longing for their ministry. A misplaced contemplation. But I see Jesus draws secondly to this man's attention. He had only a material contemplation. All he seemed to think about was the material. That's all it was. Notice in verse 19, the Bible says, as this man is speaking to himself, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's all he was thinking about. How can I accumulate enough so that I don't have to work anymore, so that I can be happy the rest of my life, eat, drink, and be merry? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people who have never accumulated enough. They still want more. They can eat, drink, but they are not merry in this life today. This man was heading down a dead-end street. He had a material contemplation. He had a false sense of security. The fact of the matter is no one can buy eternity. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, trusting in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth to all men richly things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute and willing to communicate. God said, I gave plentifully to you, but I want you to be ready to distribute. I want you to be willing to communicate. That means to give. He said, I've blessed you so that you can be a blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been blessed to be a blessing. This man, though, thought he was blessed just so that he could receive the blessing. And the reasoning of covetousness is a very selfish reasoning. But I draw your attention, secondly, this morning, to the requirement of the Almighty. The requirement of the Almighty. You see, this man, like so many men today, and even Christians today, this man forgot that one day he would stand before Almighty God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The requirement of the Almighty stands still today. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. May I repeat that verse, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, would you notice what Jesus says to this man in verse 20? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now notice, if you will, the requirement of the Almighty is first of all a requirement of judgment. It is a requirement of judgment. God requires of every man, woman, boy, and girl one day to stand before Him. Matthew 16:27, the Bible says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, my friend, there are things more important than the temporal. There is the eternal that we must think about. How many of you think it's all right in church if we think about the eternal for just a moment? And the fact of the matter is that in eternity, we will begin by standing before Almighty God. Every believer, the Bible is very clear. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, for he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul the apostle lived his life with this one overwhelming thought in mind, that one day he would stand before the Lord God Almighty and he would give an account for the race that he had run. By the way, I'm not going to give an account for your race. You're not going to give an account for my race. You're not going to give an account for your wife or for your husband. You will give an account for yourself. And you will stand before the Lord as a believer. Daniel Webster was a great American patriot. He is hated by many. But Daniel Webster was a fine Christian man who said these words, my greatest thought is my accountability to God. My greatest thought is my accountability to God. It is not wrong to plan for the future. We'll see that in a moment. But may I say, the greatest thought must be, I will be accountable to God one day. Not only will every believer stand before Jesus Christ, but please hear me today, every unbeliever will stand before God as well. It will not be at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ. It will be at the great white throne judgment that the unbelievers will stand. You'll notice this in your notes, Revelation 20 and verse 11. Please see it. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. For whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says there will be men at that day who will say, Lord, Lord, we knew you. We cast out devils in your name. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, cursed, for I never knew you. At the great white throne judgment, those men and women who have not received Christ as their Savior will be cast apart from Jesus Christ for all of eternity. And my friend, the Bible is very clear. They will be cast, as the Bible says in Revelation 20:15, into a lake of fire. I know someone says that's not very popular preaching, Pastor Chapel. That's not going to get this church very far. The church isn't going to grow. Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't write it. I just recite it. And God's word is very clear that every man will stand before God Almighty. And those who have not been washed in the blood, and those who are not named in the Lamb's book of life, will be cast into the lake of fire. My friend, if you think this life is all about today, and it's all about your four-wheeler, and it's all about your boat, and it's all about your hobby, and it's all about your hunting, and it's all about your 401k, my friend, you are greatly mistaken. There is coming a day when we will stand before God Almighty, and we will give an account for how we live this life, and whether we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get sucked into the trap of thinking it's all about right now. There is coming a day when you and I will stand before a holy and a righteous God. Now, the reasoning of the covetous is very selfish reasoning, and the requirement of the Almighty is very clear. He is referred to in this verse, this man, as a fool, because one day Jesus said, God will bring you into a time of stewardship, a requirement, a time where you will give an account. But notice thirdly with me this morning, the remedy for misplaced values. Now let's just be honest for just a minute. Every person in this room is affected by the thinking patterns, the materialism patterns of this world today. Everybody. Everybody here gets caught into thinking about how we can take care of old number one. But what can we do to make things right, to make sure that our heart is in the right place, to make sure that our priorities are right? Notice in verse number 21, the Bible says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus introduces to this man a concept apparently foreign to him, and that is that it's one thing to be rich in the world, it's another thing to be rich toward God. Amen. Now, how can we remedy those misplaced values that come into our lives? How can we get back in balance when we are out of balance? Notice several ways this morning. First of all, we must prioritize eternal investments. We must prioritize eternal investments. Notice in verse 33, the Bible says, sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I want you to take note very quickly of this fact. The Lord does not condemn the rich man for having savings. There is nothing wrong with saving, investing. There is nothing wrong with being a wise steward. He is not condemning the man for having savings. He is condemning the man for not having eternal savings. He is condemning the man for having no thought of the eternal kingdom of God. It is not wrong to invest wisely. I've heard some very immature Christians say, well, look at what he did, or he has. Listen, you ought to say, thank God that God blesses them so that they can be a blessing. They may have a larger reservoir from which to give. That's nothing to disdain if God has blessed them. Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. But our saving and investing should only enhance our giving. Let me say that again. Saving and investing should enhance our ability to be involved in the eternal kingdom of God. The problem with this man was that all he thought of was building more barns and more barns to keep his stuff. He wasn't thinking of how could he advance the kingdom of Almighty God. Oh, it's not wrong to own things as long as things do not own us. It's not wrong to own certain recreational items so long as those things are not pulling you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to use our affluence for eternal influence, that the kingdom of God might be propagated on this earth. And so God says, I want you to be involved in prioritizing your eternal investments. Now, how can we invest? You know, someone says, well, the way I invest for my savings is just an automatic deduction through my check or from our payroll to a retirement or whatever. And you've thought about that, haven't you? So how can we take a moment to think about investing in the things of eternity? How is that done? Let me give you two ways. Number one, there is systematic giving. Systematic giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2. It is in your notes, and I want you to see it from the Bible because I want you to see this is a Bible message today. 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, upon the first day of the week, that would be today, let every one of you, now in the Greek, that means every one of you. Are we all on the same page this morning? Young people in college, God intends for you every week to honor Him. Moms and dads, everyone, grandmas and grandpas, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, we can call this tithing, first fruits, offering, call it what you want. As Nike says, just do it. Systematic giving every week. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. As God prospers me, I prosper him. And someone has said, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice, you see. It is not God's intention that a few men be burdened while everyone else is on easy street. He wants everyone, as they are blessed, to honor Him. Proverbs 3:9 speaks of this principle. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. God gives you $10. I believe a dollar of that minimally belongs to Him. It's His first fruits offering, if you will. Don't look for ways out of this. I heard of a little boy who found a quarter on the driveway getting ready for church, and he was going to give it in the offering, and on the way back home, he said, Mom, here, you can have this quarter. I was going to give it to Jesus this morning, but he wasn't there. Now, folks, don't look for a reason not to give. Look for a way to give. For many in this room, it is very important to you, and rightfully so, that systematically, on a scheduled basis, something's going into some account for you that's important to you. Why would we not very systematically, religiously, if you will, honor the Lord on the first day of the week? You see, the Bible is very clear that we're to be involved in systematic giving. I was out in North Carolina preaching some years ago, and I saw a bumper sticker on a car, and it said, tithe if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk. Not bad theology. Systematic giving. And then not only are there systematic, regular, weekly offerings that we give to the Lord, but then we give our special offerings to the Lord. Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. C.S. Lewis said, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule to give is that we should give more than we can spare. In other words, don't just give what you can see you can give, but give by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ in our systematic tithes and offerings.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled, The Parables of Jesus. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
If you've ever wanted to travel to Israel and tour the steps of Jesus in the Holy Land, you have an amazing opportunity coming next year. On September 28th through October the 7th, 2015, I'm teaming with Templeton Tours to host a 10-day expedition of the Holy Land that will be full of both inspiration and instruction. There's no better way to tour biblical sites than with a professional guide and alongside good Christian friends. You'll visit Mount Carmel, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, and a dozen other sites. There's also an optional two-day church history tour in England at the end of our trip on October 7th through the 9th. If you're interested in this very unique opportunity, contact Templeton Tours at 1-800-334-2630. That's 1-800-334-2630, or visit templetontours.com. For your gift donation to Daily in the Word, I would like to send you a copy of my newest book entitled Paid in Full. It's my gift to you for your financial support of this ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word here on Daily in the Word.
That was Pastor Paul Chappell with Daily in the Word. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books, including Out of Commission. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.